Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome. Thank you this evening for joining me right here on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benson. Welcome. Today is Monday, February 4th, 2013. It is 7:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We thank each and every one of you for joining me. Someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know we are on the air live right here on Internet Radio, Victory Against All Odds. Today is the fourth day, the second month representing two representing agreement. So we thank each and every one of you as we come into a spirit of agreement. God bless Divas for God's kingdom and walking in God's purpose. God bless you, women of God. We just thank each and every one of you. I'm especially excited tonight to have my special guest tonight, Associate Pastor Stephen Buller from Red Springs, North Carolina, Arising Nation Ministries. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you, too. I mean, it is
Amen.
An honor to be with
Amen.
It is an honor to be with you tonight, amen. I trust and hope that something will be said and somebody will be filled with the presence of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Amen. Do you mind telling the listening audience a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Well, again, like she said, I am the associate pastor of Powerhouse Ministries located in Pembroke, North Carolina. Just excited about what God is doing in our lives, taking me from glory to glory throughout the different levels in Christ. I'll tell you what, I'm just excited about the move that God is doing in our lives. And then I thank him for allowing me not only to be an evangelist, but also to walk into the gift of prophecy, to walk into my calling as a prophet, walk the beginning stages of that, and I just truly thank the Lord for that. Just a little bit about myself. I am 39 years of age, married. I have two wonderful sons, one being a newborn. Just thank the Lord for that. I have a beautiful wife. She is full of wisdom and knowledge, and I'm hoping and praying that one day she'll step out, amen, and begin to share some of the things that God has richly and blessed her with. And again, I'm excited about being with you on tonight. I'm just looking forward to it, and I truly trust that something will be said and that you will leave excited about your walk with God. Amen. Go ahead, my sister.
Amen, and I am excited about having you and your wife and that she allowed me to share some time away from you and your family, your lovely boy. That newborn is just a cutie pie. What a true gift from God. He is a ham. So God bless you again, you and your family. And I'm glad that you could join me on tonight. Over the past few months, Pastor, the Lord has me just really into studying the Word of God. And so, you know, the Scripture says, you know, we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And, you know, sometimes we quote Scriptures and we really don't know what we're saying. We hear it so often that it just becomes a part of us, but we don't have any depth, any meaning behind it. And the more I eat and chew on the Word of God, the more excited I get. So I understand now where you just want to eat all the time. And so I've come to a place where I just I'll bed with my Bible in my bed. And I'll curl up and turn the TV off and just really get in there and just break open the Word of God, because for years and years, the Bible was just so frustrating. I read it, just words on a page, and it just would make me so frustrated. I'm like, okay, I don't know what, I just don't understand what this means. And so I would just close the book, and I would just take whatever came across the pulpit, I would hold on to that thing. And that just became the way of life for me for such a long time. And then as time went on, and just all the things that I've gone through and went through, and the Lord is pressing upon me to this year in 2013, the year of divine change, to just really lay out my entire testimony. Because, you know, if you've been with me for over the last year or so, you've gotten bits and pieces, a little bit part here, a little bit part here, as it is relevant. And I did it that way because I wanted people to know that I do have a testimony, but it, you know, the broadcast is not about me, my assignment. I wanted to get that out there. But now there's timing and everything, and so now is the time that I just kind of lay it all out there. Now that I think I've captured the hearing of the listeners and that they know that I have a sincere heart. But over the course of study, the Lord had me to just drop in Hebrews 11:1. And so as I kind of, you know, been reading, you know, I began to have some serious revelation about that particular scripture. And I wanted to share it with the body of believers, but man of God, I wanted you to help me share it because, you know, we've been in company together and it just kind of flowed. And I love your spirit. And so the Lord placed it on my heart to have you join me and talk about Hebrews 11:1. And I wanted to just go there. And as I was studying the scripture, the Lord and I, we just had a really, really good time digging out the nuggets in this particular scripture. And so as I pondered and prayed, the Lord, I began to take inventory over my life and my experiences. And then I realized that the words became life to me. So Hebrews 11:1, if you have your Bible, says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if we were to kind of play with that and break it down a little bit, you know, because we have people from various levels in their walk, it's pulling down that which is in the realm of the spirit manifested in the natural. Or now faith is reality of the foundation where hope is established. So what am I really saying? I'm saying faith allows us as a body of believers to cross the limits of time and reach eternity. That's what I'm saying. So go back to the scriptures. It says now faith. So faith is now. So then I ask the question, how do we operate in now faith? Well, my first that came to me is that we must come to a place where we can see things as God sees them. That was the first thing. And one of my daily prayers, man of God, is that I command my morning, every morning when I pray. I command my morning because he has given us authority. And the women in the chat room, they had an awesome piece on authority, and I walk in that. And I, as I grow and as I mature in my walk, I'm learning to take that authority. And so I command my morning. And part of my prayer is, God, let me see the way you see and what you want me to see. And God, let me hear what I need to hear in the spirit realm. Let me do that. So my first experience as part of my testimony, the reason why this has become so live to me, is when I was 7 years old, I had an experience. It was when I discovered who God was. And, of course, as a child, we see him as this great, big, he is God. He created the heavens and the earth. And that thing just captivated me as a child, kind of like looking at your daddy. He's just so tall and so big and so, you know. And so he was a big God to me as a little girl. And I began to just marvel at his creation. And so I was captivated with trees and the clouds and everything that I looked at and I observed from a different lens just became so odd to me, if you allow me to use those words. So one day, my neighbor had a pair of twins. She had twins, and they were little, they were babies. They were like one, pulling around, bow legs and Pampers and a T-shirt. It was summer. And I looked at those babies, and I tell you, man of God, it was the most beautiful thing I had ever laid my eyes on, that God created these two things, these two little boys who looked just alike. And I decided on that day, that's what I wanted. I said, God, I want that right there. Little did I know that I just spoke into the atmosphere and commanded those things to come to life. So from that day to this day, or, you know, in my adulthood, like all through my early years, my teenage years, and my early 20 years, up until I got married, I spoke it into existence. I did the noun face of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen is alive in my that bedroom over there. I have I have identical twin 16-year-old boys who just turned 16 3 weeks ago. So I spoke that which was not into existence just because of my faith. And so that was my first experience of Hebrews 11 and 1, even though I did not realize that. But how interesting is it that that was my spirit to do so? Because I just believed that he could. And I had, my faith was able to touch heaven, and God was able to move because of the little faith that I had. So once we establish this mindset, is where I'm going with that, we can begin to move into a different dimension of the things seen and not seen. When we really grab hold of that verse, the very essence of faith, we come to the understanding of Mark 11 and 22. And it says, have faith in God, meaning take hold of God's faith.
Right.
So God gives us a measure of his faith, and then we must grab hold of it so we can bless others. You got something, you know, you were, can you chime in there? Man of God, you got something to add to that?
Well, in doing that, when we realize that God has given us a measure of faith, it is left up to us to allow that faith to grow, or we can let it stay where it's at. And allowing it to stay where it's at, it becomes stagnated. We don't never see nothing. We never see any miracles being performed before our eyes. We just go on living. But in building off of that, like you said, whenever you begin to realize the faith that is in us, we can begin to speak things into existence that has not yet existed in our lives. And that's what God is calling the people to. We have got to, and I've said this time after time, we're going to get back to the old landmark, to the place where when we speak something, it immediately changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere of God. And in doing that, realizing that if I say, God, I need rain, natural rain to fall from heaven, when I open my eyes and I step outside, I can begin to see the rain fall. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That sounds like Noah right there.
Exactly. We got to, if we don't believe in something, if we don't grab hold of something and believe in that,
uh-huh,
and hold fast to it, it'll never come to pass.
Absolutely.
So you believe that, you say, God, I want a set of twins. God, I need those twins. Why? Because you saw something that captivated you to the place that no matter what came, you desired it. That's the same way we're serving God. what is it about God that just captivates our spirit that we want to serve him even the more? What has he done? What has he spoken to us that will cause us to activate the faith that he has given us to want to serve him even the more?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And what I love about the Word of God is that the Word of God confirms that that we all have faith. And but the thing is, we don't all have the same measure.
No.
So we grow in that faith, like you said, but we have to take that our measure given to us out of the box. We got to bind the spirit of fear so God can take us up in another level. And so what I'm saying is we've got to be good stewards over the measure given, and then God will give us the increase. Amen.
Exactly. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So then let's go back, you know, because I want everybody to get it like I got it. I want to just give this to you. I'm going to give it to you. So if we go back to the Word and just bring it out again, say it this way. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things, the rain, the boys, you know, that whatever that thing is that you hope for, being the proof of the thing we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, which is faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed from our senses. And so now we're talking about our senses. Are we going somewhere? Because that is a mindset in all itself. You agree?
I agree.
So the mindset demands that we have to free ourselves from the bondage that keeps us subject and locked in our senses, our hearing, our touch, our taste, our smell, and what we see. If we see it, then we don't need, the Bible says we don't need any hope. If we can see it, we can touch it, we can smell it, there's no hope involved in that.
No.
But when we reach this level of faith, the impossible becomes possible.
Exactly.
Why is that? Because we have tapped into the understanding that we have dominion and control over the laws of time, space, and matter.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Amen. So that means faith is what? Now. Now. It is the past, the future together, manifested in the present, which constitute the now. Now is not the future, but it is just that. It is now. The scripture says, now faith is. And when I think about that, I always go back and look at my life story. And for years, I was ashamed. Man, God, I was ashamed to tell my story because I didn't understand why I had to endure so much heartache, so much shame, I was condemning myself for what someone else did. And just would make excuses for the person that did it to me because I was ashamed to tell someone that I was molested, that I was raped, that I was abused, that I was beaten, and that I was medicating myself and trying to take myself out because I was ashamed. And
right.
It's all of God himself. Not the pastor, because I'm one of them people, I didn't grow up in church. But my struggle was the mindset to live. I didn't want to live. But when I look back over my life, I realized that I had faith all along. It was all, he put it there. I just needed to tap in. I needed to use my keys. Hallelujah. I had to use my keys that God gave me. I didn't know that I could use. I just had to pick up them keys, dig way down, and find them keys amongst all the garbage and all the junk that was you know, piled up on top of me. I had to go through all that in order to find some keys so that I could unlock some stuff, so I could bag and loose some stuff. And
exactly.
And my first testimony is them children. I don't have no twins in my family, but I just didn't know that I was speaking faith. I didn't realize that I was calling things forth with my mouth. I just didn't know how much power I had. Amen. Go ahead.
We got to realize that whenever we get to the place that we can say that, God, even though trouble has hit me, even though it has attacked my body, or I have been through the storms of life, there is a reassurance in knowing that you're going to bring me out of this. How do I know that? I can't see my way coming out. But by faith, I believe that God is going to help me to come out of the situation that I'm going through. Lord, help me, Jesus, because everything that was going through my mind on this week, you've done it out. You've already spoken into existence because, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Holy Ghost. See, we got to realize that whatever things may come our way that may try to get us down or bring us down to a place that it may try to stunt our growth, as you might call it in Christ, we got to learn how to get past that. How do I get past that? By realizing that, Lord, this has come in my way. This has come here to me, but I will not allow it to keep me from moving to the next level in you. What is the next level? God, I want to get deeper in you. I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to feel your heartbeat. I want to know your touch. I want to know your voice. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I feel the preaching now. I'm trying to contain myself. In doing that, we've got to get to that place. And I know where you're coming from about talking about the things that have attacked you in your life that you have experienced. Well, we have to realize that whenever that comes our way, what don't kill us, it makes us stronger.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, it does.
And so, therefore, we have a testimony that we can stand up and we can say, well, I've been through this. And I came out of it, but it was God that kept me from losing my mind, and He has brought me to the place that where I'm at today. You see, a lot of people. This is what I try to tell people: you cannot take the anointing that's on my life and put it in your life. And the reason we cannot do that is because you don't know the hell that I had to go through to get the anointing to where I'm at right now. I don't know what it took for you, my sister, to get to the place where you're at with God, unless I hear your story. And
yes,
so for somebody to say, well, I want that anointing. No, you can't walk in this anointing because this anointing is mine because God gave it to me.
Amen.
Your anointing is yours because God gave it to you. Your anointing is different from my anointing, but we walk together in the same anointing.
Yes. Absolutely. And since even when you were saying that, I think one of the things that the body of Christ, I'm shifting for just a minute, kind of going off the record, but I feel it to say, is, if we all would come to the understanding that we each all have our own anointing then we would not be fighting with one another. You know, because like you said, I need you. I can't have your anointing, but I need you. And you need me. We need each other. And when we realize that the hand of God is necessary, but everybody got to walk in their own anointing, and God each gave us each our purpose, our own destiny, and he gave us gifts, and those gifts work together, and that they work coincidentally with each other, then when we come together as a whole, then we will come to the understanding that we can lock the enemy out. We don't give him any room. And when we understand that we work together and that together we have strength and there's strength in numbers, then we send the enemy packing, because I'm not trying to fight you, trying to do a covet, if you will, your anointing, because God gave me an anointing. Then he allowed us to hook up together so that your anointing and my anointing could hook up together so we could do damage in the kingdom of darkness, so that we could edify the body of Christ, so we could pull others in, draw them in, so that we all can go together, and so that we can all seek the same, because we're seeking the same God. So why are you fighting? Why are you fighting me? Why are you talking behind my back? Why are you trying to steal my anointing? Why, you know what I'm saying? That is a trick of the enemy. All he's doing is dropping seeds and sitting back and laughing. He's like, look at them. They still ain't got it together.
Still ain't
but
got it together.
But when you understand that your anointing is for you, and that you take your anointing and I'll take mine, and together we'll do damage in the kingdom of kingdom of darkness, then we work in there, we're doing something, and we're enlarging the kingdom instead of enlarging the kingdom of darkness. We're trying to win souls and pull snatch them out of hell. But too many times, we're too busy, you know, pulling people down, and that just makes me frustrated.
I know it.
I just had to get that out. Okay, so let's talk about the enemy of faith. The enemy of faith is the opposite, which is unbelief. Unbelief is a spirit. Again, all I'm doing, men and women of God and those that are not believers, I'm talking to you too, because you need hope. You need something to latch on to. And so I'm getting ready to expose the enemy. Here is what the enemy's job is. The enemy drops again a seed. Unbelief is a spirit used as a weapon, causing unbelievers and believers to use reason to make us refuse God. It is a weapon causing unbelievers and believers to use reason to make us refuse or oppose God. So we must subtract reason, unbelief, and our own understanding, so that the total sum equals faith. Again, faith is the ability given to us as believers to believe the unreasonable. So with faith, all things then become possible, because we've taken reason and unbelief and our own understanding out of the equation. So that we do damage to the enemy's camp, we go into the word. So if we look at the scriptures and we read the word of God, let's talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now we know the story that they were cast into fiery furnace. So if I was to ask, you know, just a regular person on the street, does fire burn? Their answer would be what?
Sure.
Absolutely. But that's with reason. But because we are believers in the body of Christ, we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast in a fiery furnace, but they were not burned. So it is true that fire burned, but it's not the truth, T-R-U-T-H, that they burned. It's not the truth that fire burned. things not seen. What was he building the ark for? Because God told him it was going to rain. They had never seen rain before.
Exactly.
Let me say that one again. They had never seen rain before. So why are you building the ark? I mean, can you imagine what the people must have been? That Noah, he is so special. And I'm going to use that word right there. He's so special. He out there. Can you imagine how foolish he must have looked to them? What in the world is rain? Ain't never. What is rain? But Noah had sense enough to prepare an ark and save his household because he had faith to believe the word of God. And this is how the enemy gets us, because we use reason of our understanding. But that don't make any sense to me. But what does the book say? What did God tell you to do? You do what God said and let him figure out the rest. I always say, and this is just me talking, this is how I get through. Oh, Lord, you told me to do X, Y, and Z. Well, that means God's got a plan. And just because dummies don't know what the plan is don't mean that he doesn't have one. It just means he hasn't revealed it to me yet, which brings us to another point. So faith cannot be judged or proven in court. Faith, there's no books and there's no code. Faith has no tangible reasoning to it. But when it's present, the impossible is made possible. To live by this thing called faith, we must disconnect from our reasoning, our ability, and guess what? We got to loose our minds and our human logic. Case in point, go to the word of God. Romans 1 and 17 says, "For in the gospel, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." He gave us some instructions. We must live by faith, men and women of God. So remember, I spoke earlier about the measure of faith. Let's build on that one. The scripture gives us reference to our increase. From faith to faith speaks of moving from one dimension or degree of faith to another. So if our revealed knowledge ceases or becomes stagnant, faith ceases. And so then we begin to move backwards, or we don't move at all, or it's going the opposite direction. So faith ceases, or it's going in the opposite direction. If we're not actively operating in now faith, nothing happens. Amen, man of God?
Amen. Amen. How do we believe that? How do we know that when we're acting into our now faith? Now faith is whenever you know that you've got a sickness in your body and you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to heal you, though mm-hmm. you cannot see your healing, but because you believe it, that when you go to the altar and you lay it down, that when you get up, you're already healed.
Amen. Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now faith is when you can't see what's about to take place in your life, but because mm-hmm. you have prayed it up and you have told the Lord, "Lord, whatever comes my way, allow me to have enough of God inside of me that I can go through it no matter what the test is."
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen the test, but because you've asked God, well, we've asked God, "God, give me the strength to face any mountain, any test, anything that the enemy may bring to me or you may allow to come into me that I'll be able to stand and walk through it."
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen.
And then when it comes, you can walk right through it and still stand. That's
still
right.
Standing.
Still standing.
That's it right there. Still standing. Still standing. Hallelujah. That's enough to shout on right there. Still standing.
Exactly.
And that's one of my testimonies. I say it all the time. I'm still standing. I'm still here.
I'm still here,
man of God. I'm still here. The enemy counted me out.
Right.
But I'm still here. Because I made a conscious decision. I wasn't going out like that.
I'm still here.
I'm still here. I made a conscious decision, man of God. I decided one day I got so mad at the enemy because I began to understand what the plan was, that they were trying to take me out. And I'm not even speaking figuratively. I'm speaking literally. I'm talking about straight pins and double barrel shotguns loaded and cocked to my head.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Woody.
But I remember all, and what really, really, really blessed me about this word right here is because that's all I had. When we talk about using our weapons, God gave us weapons, men and women of God. He gave us tools. He gave us the word of God. He gave us faith. And we miss it because we forget sometimes to go back to the foundation. And I didn't have much. Remember, I didn't grow up in church. So all I had was, at that time, was honor thy mother and thy father that thou gave belong. And the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. And only other thing I remember that I could hold on to was that God would not put more on me than I could bear. There was a way of escape. And so when the word says it takes the foolish things to confine the wise, we don't have to be, it's not that hard, and it really ain't that deep. Guess what? My tool was a smile. I used a smile, and as simple and as crazy as it sounds, I got a wake-up call from the Lord himself. He shook me, and he said, if you cry one more tear, he said, dry those tears up and stand up against the enemy. You ain't no wimp. And I'm sitting up there, well, what you want me to do? Smile at the enemy when he comes against you. He's winning the battle because he wants you frustrated. He wants you bound. He wants you mad and upset and crying. He said, stand tall, wipe your face, and stand as I say stand. And when he pinch you and stick you with that straight pin, you better not cry. You smile, you close your mouth, and you smile. That's all you got to do. I got the rest. And as hard as it was, I stood there, and I smiled while I was being stuck with straight pins. And I ain't trying to be funny, y'all, but straight pin hurt. I mean, you come stick yourself with a straight pin. That's some hurting stuff. It make you cuss, spit, and swear.
Exactly.
But that was my, when I was like, okay, but that's my, you know, my authority. That was my authority. And I just was standing on the word of God. Okay, you said to honor them that my days be long. God, I want to live a long life. I'm not trying to get in trouble. But what was the part that I forgot to read? The next verse says, parents, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And so I had to go back and pick that part of the scripture up. I said, God, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. You said you would come to my rescue. You said you would be my shield and my buckler. Okay, I need some help. And he said, help is on the way. What do I need to do? He said, I said, God, if you don't help me, somebody's going to be dead, going to jail, and somebody going to hell. And I said it just like that. He said, we ain't got to go out like that. He said, if you go out that door, I'll find you. I have you a place to lay your head. I'm like, okay, where am I going? He said, you just have some faith. I order your footsteps. And when I say go, go. I didn't have a plan. Men and women of God, I had no plan. I had no place to go. And guess what? I took, only thing I had was what I was wearing on my back. I left all the riches behind me because we was not poor. All the clothes, the shoes, and everything else, the bike, everything, left everything behind. I walked out the door with what I had on my back. But God provided what I had on my back. I went to school with no books. My teacher's looking at me, well, where in the world, you know, where your books at, baby? I don't have no books today. I had a book and never did go back and never did get any more books. Not them books anyway. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. It will bring you to a place of deliverance.
Yes.
If you just hold on to your measure that was given to you and build on it so that you can have an increase. So to have faith now, we must have revelation of the present truth. And we've established that faith is a continuous process of moving forward. Amen?
Exactly. Amen.
Forward.
Mm-hmm.
You got something to put in there?
How moving forward, getting from one place, from the place of knowing that if something don't come along, if help don't get there, that you're going to die in the state that you're in, that you will give in to the point that you'll just die in it. But knowing that help comes in and realizing that the Lord has spoken and said, it's time to move, you move to the next level. And in doing that, you've increased the amount of faith that you have. Now, it's not easy stepping out on faith, but whenever we do that, it builds confidence up in us that we can trust God another degree. We can trust God to another level, to a higher standard. Whenever Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, he could have been eaten by those lions. But because he walked around that with his head hung high, and he knew the God that he served, God shut the lion's mouth, and the lions couldn't do him no harm. That's moving to another level in God.
Mm-hmm.
Or whenever... Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. No, woman of God, it's deep. It's deep. Knowing that you're going down for the last time and you realize that there is a God in heaven that can pull you out of the marble clay and set your feet on a steady rock. And when you get there, all you got to do is just stand and say, for God, I'll live. And for God, I'll die. That's moving forward in God. Woman of God, try to go ahead. This is deep now. I said it's deep. But there's somebody that need to realize that no matter what the circumstances may look like right now, there's still a God. There's still a God that can say, I'm moving you from out of the place that you're in right now. I'm changing the atmosphere with all the trouble that you're facing in your life, and I'm fixing to take you to a place of happiness, to a place of peace, a place of understanding.
Yeah.
Taking you to a place, Lord, have the Holy Ghost, I feel the presence.
Go ahead.
To a place that when you feel like that you're about to give up, you feel like there's no one there to help you, that can tell you and say, look, I've been where you're at. I know where you're coming from. That if you'll hold on just a little while longer, you feel like you're at the end of your rope and you can't go on, but you look up to God and you say, God, you got to help me. I've done all I know to do, and I'm about to give up, but I'm going to hold on just a little while longer for you to come through. And about that time, when you feel like you're fixing to let go, somebody will, God will send an angel by you, somebody by to say, hold on just a little while. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Amen. I want to share just a little bit of this, and time won't permit me to go and all, but I want to share this. Knowing that we had a son 11 years ago. We had this child, and God, we through God, we raised him up, and Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, night after night, I kept him in church. I carried him to church, and you know, he began to grow up, and he began to become a boy, doing things that kids would do, and you know, almost 2 years ago, soon be 2 years now, he got into a bad accident. He almost amputated part of his foot, and that thing like just killed us. We thought we was going to go under. We thought we had lost it, and I mean there were times that I know what it's like when people say that they've been to the place that they didn't have food in their house to eat. I've been there. I've seen those times, and in knowing all of that. You know, in all those times, we have been saying, Lord, you know, why haven't we had a child? Why haven't we had another one to go with this one, to help raise him up? But in saying that, he had to go through surgery after surgery after surgery, and the only thing that we could do was depend on one another. I depended on my wife, and my wife depended on me. And we kept each other. We kept the confidence of each other built up, the faith built up, by communicating with one another. That was a hard thing to do. But knowing I couldn't see my son's foot being healed, I couldn't see my son's foot becoming to the place that he'll be able to walk again, be able to play sports again. But God intervened. I said, God, you have got to do something. You have got to show us that you're still in control of our lives. God intervened. One Sunday morning after church, he come home. He had a pick line in him, and he was walking on crutches. And one Sunday he got home from church, he laid his crutches down, and he looked at his mama. And he said, Mama, I feel like I can walk now. And that boy laid them crutches down, and he got up, and he began to take his steps through the house. And those steps became running.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Those steps became running then. And he was, to that day forth, he never had to use another crutch. That's God. That's faith. Amen.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. 4 minutes. Lord have mercy. Where does the time go? This is good. Oh, God, this is good. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. By faith, walking in God's purpose is in the chat room. And she said, by faith. She said, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That is truly, truly, truly faith. And that's what this is all about. It doesn't matter what the test, what the trial, what it looks like. Again, we got to die to those, to our senses, and we've got to grab hold to the Word of God, and we just got to trust Him when all else fails. We just got to trust God, and now faith is a call or a cry out for us to move or advance in a great level in our believing God's word as it appears and that as it applies to all areas of our life. But in order for this to happen, we need revelation to pave the way to a new dimension. And if we walk in the now, we've got to realize and recognize that God's revelation is for this time. This time being present time, and if I go back and pick up my girl for such a time as this, you know, we cannot walk in the present truth with yesterday's revelation, because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, meaning always in the present, always in the present. Now, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes, and I'm you got something else you want to say, and then we're gonna wrap this up. I know you need to get back to your family member, God. And oh God, I just really have had a wonderful time with this. I really have.
Amen. I truly enjoyed it. I have been blessed. Amen. And I just want to encourage you to keep up what you're doing. I just see God just exalting you even more in doing this. And I want you to be encouraged, because there is another level that you're fixing to advance into. There is a deepness, realm of God that you're about to tap into, woman of God. You call it a Mashatalabasata. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You're fixing to tap into another realm of God like you never experienced in all of your life. You think you have been moved from one level to another one. Oh, you're fixing to go through a realm of the Holy Ghost.
Glory, glory, glory.
Into the mindset of who He is, Lord.
Glory, glory.
You think you have seen His glory at work. Woman of God, you're fixing to experience it like never before. God is wrecking you.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know what you've been praying for, but I see God just wrapping you in
God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. To God be the glory. 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 All the glory and all the honor goes to the Father. Oh, I'm just a yielded vessel. I just aim to please the Father and to do the will of the Father, and just to allow Him to really order my footsteps without an agenda. It's not about a title or office. I just want to be used by God, you know, to empower the non-believer and draw them in and to get them all unshackled and unchained. And I just want them to be delivered and set free and made whole, because God set me free and he made me whole. And I feel that my job, he allowed me to go through so that I could get through, so that I could come to a place, such a time as this. And so I thank all of you that are listening and that will listening and Divas for Kingdom and walking in God's purpose. I thank God. I thank God for each of you. And I thank God for those that are in studio. I do believe Prophetess, I see her, and Elder, I believe Elder Autry is in there, and those that would be listening by archives. And man of God, allow, you know, just let your, you know, your friends, your families know that they can listen, that it's archived until Christ comes, you know. And I thank each and every one of you for just listening and being empowered, and I hope you were strengthened, and I hope you were delivered, and I hope you've been imparted, and I pray that you gain your tools and you'll pick them up and you'll use them and you'll have now faith and you'll walk in the present time. Help me. So if you have any questions, if you need to reach out to me, you may do so. If you want to reach the man of God, if you want to give your information, how they can get in contact with you, do so. You have the floor. You can leave them information or whatever you want to say. You can do that.
Yes. Have your questions, comments, lead us to pray with you. If you could use our services and ministry, feel free to give us a call at area code 910-316-2408. I'll tell you, and we will contact you back, and we will set something up. Keep us in prayer as we're transitioning from one place to the next in the Lord. But yeah, again, if you want to contact me, feel free. Amen. We would love to hear from you again. I'm hoping and praying that that the Lord will allow us to do some traveling. Amen. I would love to come up to the Raleigh area, amen, to minister or just to worship, amen, with the folks up in the area. So feel free to give us a call anytime. And we love you.
And we love you too. God bless you. God bless you. Again, thank you all my listeners, listening audience. Thank you for joining me on Victory Against All Odds. If you have questions or you need to reach me, you have several options. You may email me at odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds, O-D as in dog, D as in dog, S_against_U@yahoo.com. Or you may call my confidential voicemail at 641-715-3900, extension 343-658 pound. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 343-658 pound. If you care to write me or send a love offering or sow a seed, you may do so by writing Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. If you desire prayer, please contact me. I will be more than happy to pray with you. God bless you, and remember and never forget, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the test, no matter what the trial, no matter how much the battle, you shall have victory against all odds. My God. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
the essence of yours. bless your name. And no one compares, no, no one by far. You're my worship, that's who you are to me.
Bless you. Good night.